From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We return one more time today to consider Christ's ministry in Capernaum, fulfilling the great prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. We trust you'll stay with us as for one more time we consider Christ, the light in the darkness. But first, as we usually do, we'll have some good gospel music, and we precede that with our hot topic for the day, Islamic terrorists recruit schoolchildren. In Germany, they're worried about a few Christian families homeschooling their children, even arriving with 17 police officers to drag a teenager off to a psychiatric unit for studying her math and Latin at home under her parents' tutelage. In Britain, they don't need to manufacture trouble as the Germans have been doing. They have a real problem. According to the head of MI5, Britain's Secret Service, there's been a dramatic increase in terrorist plotting over the last year. The head of MI5 reported that despite increasing the number of her agents, the agency is stretched to the limit with some 200 ongoing investigations. Most worrying to security chiefs is the way that Islamic terror groups are succeeding in attracting young British Muslims. Al-Qaeda operatives are making school children their particular targets. According to MI5, Al-Qaeda is recruiting teenagers to carry out suicide attacks and will use chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons if they get the chance. Now, this is a real problem. Islamic schools are particular targets for terrorist recruiters. Sometimes the educators are part of the problem. Only recently it was discovered that an Islamic textbook spoke of Jews as pigs and the rest of us as infidels. And in a Muslim connection, we know what happens to infidels. The school tore out the offending pages of the textbook after protests had been made. The excuse was that those pages were not taught. I suppose the kids never read them at home either. It's no secret that Muslim terror organizations have used schools to recruit. This has been going on for years in Africa, for example. Even moderate African Muslims have complained that they can't compete with the Saudi-financed schools that regularly siphon off many promising young people for training in terror. Now the same thing has come to the West. In Britain and America, Christian and private schools have been carefully monitored to ensure that they delivered quality education. The same thing should be true of Muslim schools. Also, Christian clerics have been investigated for their perceived use of tax-free dollars to support their chosen political parties. So why can't Muslim mosques and clerics be investigated? I know it's a delicate matter, and that religious freedom is not to be infringed lightly. But we should remember that we're not speaking of the state monitoring anybody's theology. We're speaking of it taking appropriate action to ensure that religious bodies stick to religion. The moment they allow themselves to become the cat's paw of terrorists, they are criminals and should be treated as such.
Thank you.
During this month of April, we have been making a very special offer to you here in Let the Bible Speak. We want you to know that we do appreciate you listening in and making this program part of your day. We appreciate those who pray for us, and we want to let you know in a very practical way. Some time ago, I produced a book on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord has greatly used it, and we have heard from many of God's people of the blessing that has been in their lives. So we're making this special offer through the month of April, and since 1 week starts with the last day of April, we're going to be generous, and while our stocks last, we're going to extend it into that first week in May. The book, The Lord's Prayer, is available to those who write or call or email and simply tell us they would like to have it. So you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we trust that you'll be richly blessed as you study the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
it's time to turn for one more study in the subject, Christ, the Light in the Darkness. Looking at Matthew 4 and Mark chapter 1, we have been noting the emphasis upon the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That's where we take up today's study, again showing the meaning of those terms and the wonderful message. Repent. Why? Because the King has come. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, really means the rule of God through His Son. It's the kingdom of God because, for obvious reasons, it is God who institutes the kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven because it's heavenly in its origin and in its authority. But the sphere of the realization of this kingdom is mostly upon the earth. And yet it is not of this world, we are told. It is a spiritual kingdom, fundamentally. Oh, it will have its earthly aspects. It even now has its earthly aspects. But it is fundamentally a spiritual kingdom. And that's why when the Lord Jesus stepped forth, He did not step forth immediately to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy that He would drive out every foe from the land of Israel. Now that's still in Isaiah. And it still waits to be fulfilled. It has never been fulfilled. It waits to be fulfilled. But when Jesus came upon the scene in His first coming, the Gospels do not refer to His coming to fulfill that part of Isaiah's prophecy. The part that He came to fulfill was first and foremost light in the darkness, life in the shadow of death, hope for the hopeless, the Gospel that the King has come. Therefore repent. Therefore repent. What is repentance? You could give it many definitions. But in the simplest definition, repentance is submission to the kingly rule of Christ. Repentance is submission to the lordship of Christ. And that's how Jesus started His ministry. The King has come. That's why He could say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why He could also say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is among you. Within you, as it's translated in the English version. Within in the sense, not of inside your heart just, but it's among you. It's here on earth. It started, why? Because the King has come. And wherever hearts are in submission to Christ, there the King reigns on earth. The church really is the fellowship of those who have submitted to Christ. Those who have bowed to the King. When you bow to the King according to Matthew 19. If you compare 16 and 23, you'll find you get eternal life, for the kingdom of heaven is eternal life. There's an aspect of the kingdom that's yet future. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." It still has to come. Why? Because the King who came that first time and shone His light is coming back the second time. And the light will so shine as to blind and blight and curse the forces of anti-Christian religion and politics. And the King Himself will come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 give us a terrible picture of His coming. With His in mighty power, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. What a glorious message. And then will be brought to pass the rest of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9. God is not unfaithful. God has not forgotten His promise. Then will be brought to pass all those aspects
of the promise of defeat for every foe in that holy land, physical enemies of every kind defeated, and the inauguration of a mighty spiritual blessing. The kingdom is also eternal. 2 Peter 1:11 calls it the everlasting kingdom. That's why when you believe in Christ and submit to Him, you get everlasting life. But the point you've got to understand is the gospel introduces us to a kingdom, and you don't get in while you're in rebellion against the king. There's no man can enjoy the blessings that Jesus Christ brings who does not receive Christ as king. Hebrews 5:9 says that He became the author of eternal salvation. To whom? Unto all them that obey Him. Some people find difficulty with that. Is that salvation by works? No, just let the Bible speak for itself. Let's quit imposing things on Scripture. Just let it speak for itself. He's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. Are we then saved by our personal obedience? Does Romans 5 not teach we're saved by the obedience of Christ? Yes, we are. Last night I was just reading a great prayer of C.H. Spurgeon's. Spurgeon lifted his heart in the pulpit to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, we rejoice, and we know that it is by the righteousness of another that we stand righteous before Thee. But, Lord, we long to be conformed to the image of Christ." Put it in Paul's words. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Going untranslated, there is a little particle which ties righteousness and sanctification together. And the translation really is, "He's made unto us wisdom and both righteousness and sanctification." They're tied together. We stand accepted by the imputed righteousness of Christ, but God never yet justified a soul that He failed to sanctify. Never once. And I want to tell you, when Paul speaks of faith, that's why he can call it the obedience of faith. Faith obeys God. Faith obeys God. Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that ye believe." Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus Christ? I have kept emphasizing He's the Counselor, that's the Prophet. We believe He tells the truth about salvation. He's the Priest. He offered up Himself a sacrifice once for all without blemish to God for sin. We believe that. But He's also the King. And it's a whole Christ that you receive when you receive Him. You don't receive Christ in bits and pieces. And this modern heresy masquerading under a proclamation of free grace, that you can receive the Prophet and the Priest while refusing the King, is a heresy. Because Jesus said, "Repent, because the kingdom is at hand." And if you're not in the kingdom of heaven, let me rephrase that. If you don't get into the kingdom of heaven, you will undoubtedly spend eternity in the kingdom of darkness. and the only way into the kingdom of heaven is by recognizing the King. His blessings are enjoyed only by those who receive the King. Christ is the hope for the hopeless, a sure hope, a certain hope, a biblical hope, a God-confirmed hope, a hope open to all who will recognize the King. He's the only true and God-ordained Savior. He has come. And as was said to Mary, the Master has come, called for thee. You stop to think of it, you know, we now enjoy the very same privileges as the people of Galilee did. The light has broken. The hope has come. The King stands before us. And he says, repent, believe the gospel. I hope this morning that we will make sure that we make better use of that privilege than the Galileans did. Because as we go on in the will of God and the life of Christ, we find that they largely rejected the light. As he said in Matthew 11:23, woe unto thee, Capernaum. Thou art exalted to heaven. That was the light shining. That was the King in the midst. Thou art exalted to heaven. Thou shalt be brought down to hell. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than it will be for thee. Because you see, light rejected only makes the darkness of hell all the blacker. We have received the very privileges that the hopeless Galileans received. Make sure today that you make good use of those privileges and repent. Bow the knee. Not just as a flash in the pan, but as the commitment of a life, a soul, and an eternity. Bow the knee to Christ, the King.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening.
I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.